Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
RMR Mechanical is a merit shop contractor whose principals have over 90 years combined experience. Licensed in 19 states, RMR Mechanical works with process industries and utilities with special expertise in boiler maintenance and repair. Simply put, RMR Mechanical provides the best value to ensure your money is effectively spent. We perform as planned. For more information, call 770-205-9646 or visit us at www.rmrmechanical.com. We look forward to helping you succeed.
This is the NIP Impressions column for the week of the 5th of November, 2012. It's titled, Don't Forget the Spouses. We recently produced a show over on Pulp and Paper Radio International called, quotes, The New Consultant and Their Spouse, end quotes. It has been listened to many, many times. Doing this show, however, reminded me how important the spouse is to the overall actions and reactions of the employee. This plays out on several levels. When I have had the opportunity to discuss the pulp and paper industry with young employees, and it makes no difference if they are hourly or salaried, I tell them that working in the pulp and paper industry is a lifestyle choice. An industry that operates on a continuous basis demands its employees be flexible with their personal scheduling, not the other way around. I further tell them that they have a spouse that expects them to be home every weekend and never be called in to work. Find another place to work right now. Most heed my advice, and the family comes to an understanding about the industry and its demands. I have seen a few not take my advice and try to live a bifurcated life. It is not long, however, until they are either give up on the industry or give up on their home life. It takes a team at home and at work to work close to the production in our industry. I had a friend who understood this better than anyone else I have met. He had a young, energetic, and knowledgeable machine superintendent. When the machine was down, this person was in the machine sorting out problems while the machine operator and the back tender stood in the aisle. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So his manager, my friend, told the young superintendent that he was to wear a white shirt to work every day or he would be fired. In 3 days, the superintendent was standing in the aisle and the people who should have been in the machine were. Why? The superintendent was caught between a boss that said you must wear a white shirt to work and a spouse who said if you bring home another ruined white shirt, you are in trouble. Great insight. I have been careful to be neutral gender in my discussion here. Some of the worst problems I have seen, however, have involved a female employee with a male partner or husband. Men, alone at home in bed on third shift, can conjure up all sorts of scenarios, real and imagined, that might be going on in the mill. More than once, this has led to workplace violence, some based on fact, some based on fantasy, all disastrous. Modern wise mill managers will see these links and problems and address them head on. It is a special situation and takes extraordinary management skills, for once a person is an employee subject to the policies and procedures of the mill, while the other person is an outsider not subject to anything the mill may desire or do. Nevertheless, the situation crosses this gray barrier and may affect all involved. What have you done about this challenge? We would like to hear from you in our quiz this week. For safety, we know when people have problems at home, they bring them to work in the form of distractions. We further know distractions lead to accidents. Perhaps a topic for your safety meeting this month, eh? Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2012, all rights reserved, Papery Tallow Publications, a division of Tallow Analytic International, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills. Tallow Analytic International and Papery Tallow Publications have an exciting new service for pulp and paper mill managers, operators, and department heads. Called Tallow Tech, it consists of many user groups focusing on each unit operations in pulp and paper mills. For instance, screens, press sections, recovery boilers, winders, and so forth. And the best news is, if you work for a mill, a university, or are a fully retired professional, you can join as many of these groups as you like for free. Where are they located? On LinkedIn. That is www.linkedin.com. How do you join? Just go to linkedin.com, put Talotech, that's T-A-L-O-T-E-C-H, in the group search. Join one of the four master groups that are there. As soon as you're accepted as a member, you can join the subgroup or groups of your choice and start solving problems in your mill today. Any questions, just email me, jthompson@taii.com with Talotech in the subject line. This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 12th of November, 2012. The title is Prepared. Here in the United States, a storm hit the northeastern corner of the country last week, Hurricane Sandy. It is quite obvious the general population and the civilian support services, fire, police, and so forth, were not at all prepared for a storm of this severity. I have seen this same result in pulp and paper mills. Decades ago, I worked in a mill that was very close to an earthquake fault line. Somehow, this became a topic of conversation in headquarters far off in a distant city. They were under the mistaken impression that the mill was, quote, earthquake-proof, whatever that means. We did some research on the mill's design. It was a fairly new mill at the time, and reported back that the mill was built according to the code of the time, which meant that the buildings were designed to stand up until all humans were able to exit. In no way did this mean we would ever make paper there again. Fires, floods, riots, windstorms, earthquakes, blizzards, you name it. Are you ready for any that might hit your site? Over the years, I've seen a complete range of preparedness planning in the mills I have visited. In today's world, however, it is the small things that can shut you down. Let's say you make pulp or paper just fine, but is your computer system robust enough to withstand whatever may be thrown at it? You can't make paper, you can't print labels to put on rolls if your computer system fails you. The last time we got excited about computer systems was over a decade ago when the rollover to the year 2000 occurred. There was a lot of study and much preparation exerted getting ready for that event. Since then, however, not so much effort has taken place. Another area that seems to not generate much discussion in preparedness is preparedness for network hacking by outsiders. Perhaps your IT department is quietly managing this in the background. However, if I were a manager, I would want to know the precautions taken and satisfy myself that they were adequate. And then there are the employees. If a widespread disaster hits the area where your mill is located, what is the backup plan for your employees? You can't operate without them, but if their families are in distress, they can't buy gasoline, or the roads are closed, how are you going to be assured that they will be where you need them? This is a complicated subject, but one which could be right at the top of your list of problems in a larger disaster. Of course, some of these matters can be handled by business interruption insurance. If you are in headquarters, it just might be a good time to saunter over to your insurance manager and ask them for a review of your hazard coverage in the case of a real disaster. We're going to give you a break on the quiz this week. You may have plenty of questions to ask others based on this column, and we do not want to distract you from this important exercise. For safety this week, a natural disaster introduces all kinds of safety problems you not see every day. It would be great to put some effort in these and do what you can to be prepared. By the way, every November, I spend a weekend at Fort Stewart, Georgia as part of my training in a subunit of the Georgia National Guard. It is always sobering to drive in there and see their safety sign. They cut to the chase and post only one metric. Last Friday it said, "Day since our last fatality, 7. I have never seen that number higher than 80 days, and I am told it does not include deployed soldiers, only the ones currently stationed on base. Be safe, and we will talk next week." NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2012, all rights reserved, Papery Tallow Publications, a division of Tallow Analytic International, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Do you need to maximize your mixing capabilities? Philadelphia Mixing Solutions mixer drives are specially designed to handle the rigors of mixing for the pulp and paper industry. With proven technologies for top entry and aeration, our total systems approach provides cost-effective solutions to maximize stock dispersion and degassing. For more information on our mixer and aeration products, contact us today at 717-832-2800 or fillamixers.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 19th of November, 2012. It is titled, Big Bad Industry. Our industry and other heavy industries have done a dismal job of keeping the public informed of what we do, how we do it, and the benefits to society. I spoke about this earlier in the week over on Paper Money. The reality today is that the pulp and paper industry is tightly regulated, closely watched, and by and large, a good citizen. No, it has not always been that way, and yes, there is still the occasional bad apple today, but for the most part, we are good citizens of the world. The NGOs, such as Greenpeace, the Environmental Defense Fund, and others, are in transition, a surprising transition. Let's look at a bit of history. In the 1970s, these organizations and others like them came into being. Personally, I was turned off immediately, for they violated laws to make their points. Greenpeace's illegal boarding of fishing vessels sticks in my mind. Justifying your illegal acts because, in your opinion, someone else is doing an illegal act, sometimes not against real laws on the books, but self-determined crimes against nature, did not cut it with me. After all, maybe I decide I don't like the color of your paint on your house, a crime against vision, and I decide to burn it down. What's the difference? Nevertheless, in those days, these environmental advocates could be considered forward thinkers. They had a vision, whether you believed it or not, and that pollution was taking the world down the wrong path. Their vision was ahead of most others. Now, however, 40 years later, the tables are turned. Most activities at pulp and paper mills are done under BACT, that's Best Available Control Technology, or MACT, Maximum Achievable Control Technology, without exception. These protocols are written into the appropriate regulations and laws. This leaves the environmental advocates in a quandary. Their job is finished. They have nothing to do. That means they cannot sustain their business model. Who is going to give them money? They don't manufacture anything. They are solely dependent on sympathetic handouts or, when they have been able to manipulate the system, government funds, for their prosperity. So they ratchet up the rhetoric. They depend on generations of young people born since the major environmental improvements were made. They don't mind if these new generations get the wrong idea and equate us to the polluters of the 1970s, for it helps them survive. The environmental advocates have become the old-fashioned part of the equation, and they don't mind that as long as they can continue their myth of pending disaster. It is time to call them out. I have mentioned elsewhere appeasement does not work. The real objective of the environmental advocacy groups today is their own survival. They cannot afford to declare a great victory, for then their income dries up. They are in a predicament. For safety this week, consider your personal environment as you do your job each day. There are two dangers here. The first is this. If your job requires you to stay in one place all day, you may become complacent to the dangers around you, and there are dangers everywhere, even in an office. If your job requires you to roam around your facility, there may be dangers in places with which you are not completely familiar. Either way, hazards abound. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2012, all rights reserved, Papery Tallow Publications, a division of Tallow Analytic International, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you know you can buy and sell used pulp and paper machinery and equipment without any brokerage fee? Just go to fixedassetrecovery.com and list your items for sale for free. That's fixedassetrecovery.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 26th of November, 2012. The column this week is titled, The New Boss. Well, welcome to the season of change. You know, the last couple of months of the year when companies resolved to stop doing whatever they were doing that did not work and move on. This may mean you are declared, quote, redundant, something that happened to a good colleague of mine already here at the beginning of the season, or it may mean you will have a new boss or new owners. Your future career opportunities, at least for the next few years, will be determined by how you act in honestly the first week of this new experience, whatever it may be for you. In some ways, you are lucky if you are let go and have to find a new position. For when you find that new position, you know it is new and you will be on your best behavior. The foolish person is the one who finds a new boss or new owner over them and protests at the first change with something like, quote, "We don't do things that way here," end quote, or, quote, "Well, when I came here, I had an understanding that I would never have to do that," end quote. What idiots. Unless you are being asked to do something that is not legal, moral, or ethical, you sharply say, "Yes, ma'am," or "Sir," and move on. The new person over you is there precisely because the managers or owners further up the line have decided things must be done differently. It makes not one bit of difference what understandings or arrangements you had with prior management. A new sheriff is in town, and they are to be obeyed, especially the first week or so. The new manager is absorbing information at a very high rate, looking for clues as to where the problems might be, where the opportunities exist. Your job is to be professional and to demonstrate that you know how to, quote, spin the invoice printer. You may not want to use my words, spin the invoice printer, but rather the intent. My words may end up labeling you as crazy or worse. Anyway, you get the idea. Some bosses come in looking for someone to fire just to show everyone else that they mean business. I found out later I was in the crosshairs for this one time, but the new boss quickly assessed he could not do without me. He had a predisposition to fire maintenance managers, and although I was not the manager, maintenance did report to me. I had only been on the site a few months myself, and maintenance was in terrible shape. What saved me, he told me later, was every time we were down for an emergency, day, night, or weekend, I called him from the site of the catastrophe with a succinct report of what happened, what we were going to do to fix it, and when we'd be up again. He quickly decided I was someone he could not do without. Instead, he fired the production manager, who had explicitly told his direct reports that he was not to be bothered from 4:30 p.m. on Friday afternoons until 7 a.m. on Monday mornings. I think he lasted about a month. Imagine having such a ridiculous rule in a paper mill. So, when you find yourself reporting to someone new, no matter the circumstances that got you there, remember your job is to legally, ethically, and morally spin the invoice printer. That's it. That's all there is to it. Very simple, but often stumbled. For our quiz this week, we'll ask you if I've missed any of the above suggestions, and you may take it online. For safety this week, do remember that new people in your facility, even bosses, may not know your unique safety issues. Pausing to make sure they understand any safety rules in your area should be something any new manager will take the time to do. Be safe, and we'll talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2012, all rights reserved, Papery Tallow Publications, a division of Tallow Analytic International, Duluth, Georgia, USA.